Friday edition of Justice and Drew. Phone lines are open for the remainder of the program, 651-989-5855.
We do have a story coming up of an asteroid as big as the Golden Gate Bridge, which I thought was a weird comparison, but
it is an odd comparison.
We'll give you details on this. This one's actually is like a little bit of concern, so we'll talk about that coming up. Yeah, Alex, yeah. Alex,
I'm with you on the comparison too.
It's really
like I don't know how big the Golden Gate Bridge is. I know it's big, right? But it's not. I don't have like a frame of reference. Like I can think, oh, something is as big as the Golden Gate Bridge. Like I can't really conceptualize that because I've never seen it in person.
I feel like a better comparison would be to say it's the size of one football field or three football fields or something, because then you know you're like, oh, well, that's 100 meters.
Well, I just when you talk about like a bridge, like I think shape.
The distance.
Yeah. It's like
it's an asteroid, the shape of a bridge.
It's not an asteroid plank.
Maybe it is an asteroid plank. Maybe it's actually, instead of an asteroid, maybe it's just the way that the aliens are going to come down.
So we will,
it's just a ginormous plank.
We will tell you why this is should be of concern to you. And we'll also talk about how Biden's energy secretary, former Michigan Democrat Governor Jennifer Granholm, who is a crazy person. I was living in Michigan at the time when she was governor, and I don't know. The woman's a nut bar, man. She just is. She says that she drives on sunshine.
She what?
You heard me. You heard what I said.
What in the world?
Yeah. She says, not walking on it. She's driving. She's driving on it. Anyway. So, you had police at your farm last night.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened on your barn.
This is like twice this year where you've had almost direct altercations with either you or your family with law enforcement.
It was a crazy situation last night. So last night there were a group of kids that were hanging out in the front yard of our barn, and they
not
were,
uncommon.
Not uncommon. They ride horses, so they had just finished up riding horses for the evening, and their parents are friends with my parents, so the parents were hanging out in the barn. The kids were sitting out in the front yard where we have like a picnic table and stuff, and they were just eating snacks. And it's a really well lit area, just with it's kind of like our parking area, and so we have really good lighting there, but it's right next to a horse pasture, and this horse pasture has a little woods in it, and these kids are hanging out, and out of the darkness, out of the trees, comes a middle-aged man out of nowhere who just like kind of stumbles over closer, and he asks them if they want any drugs. And so these kids scream and run into the barn. At this moment, I was actually not present. I was on the phone with my mom, who was in this room with the other parents. And I'm just chatting with my mom about plans for the weekend. And I hear the door open and I hear a kid scream, "There's a man outside who's trying to sell us drugs." And so I hear all the parents scrambling. I am on the phone and this is happening. And I hear the parents scrambling. One of them hangs up on me to call 911. And then I hear the rest of the story afterward, where I guess the parents ran outside. One parent grabbed a couple crowbars. One parent may or may not have grabbed the weapon that he was legally allowed to carry, with the concealed carry. They were good. This is Buffalo, so they are packing and prepared, and so they run outside. They tell this guy, "Get on the ground," and they basically hold him down until police show up. And so the police officers arrive. Apparently, they had actually been looking for this individual, so their response time was super quick.
Yeah.
It was like a couple minutes, because in the time that it took me to get hung up on, and then I texted my boyfriend the situation, and then I called another parent, and they're like, "We got to go. There's police here." And so that was like just a couple minutes in between that response time. Wow. So kudos to the Buffalo Police Department. So there were several police cars that arrived, and they got the guy cuffed and in the car super quick, and it was just
looking for him for?
I don't know those specifics. I do know that our next door neighbor, this guy apparently had driven his truck deep into his yard and almost hit his building. And then
offered him drugs?
I don't know if he offered him drugs.
Buy some drugs?
I guess that from him getting his vehicle stuck in that guy's yard, he stumbled over to our property, which is, it's still a hike. Like, we are out in rural Buffalo.
So I have a pretty good understanding of the way that your farm is laid out, mm-hmm. From the time I visited in stalking. And with that...
I know exactly where he stumbled out from.
So your house, and then you have your barn. You've got like your
there's like a circle driveway,
like a roundabout,
a
roundabout in the front of your house. Were they there or were they on the back side of the barn?
They were on the roundabout.
They're on the roundabout.
They were by the horse pasture that's right next to the roundabout.
Okay,
I believe it's roundabound.
The roundabound.
Is it roundabound?
No.
Oh, that's right. He's roundabout. That's right. I forgot it. Thank you. I just feel dumb for the fact that I actually asked that question. Did he come from the back? Did he come from the woods on the back, on your back 40?
So that's what's confusing for me, since I wasn't there. It sounds like, because there is a horse pasture right next to it. So there's buildings, horse pasture, and in the middle is a roundabout where we often hang out. And so from my understanding, it sounds like he had basically gone across our yard, because he would have had to cross the yard, cross the area with the roundabout to get into the horse pasture that the kid said that he came out of. So he was in a horse pasture in the woods, hiding out, I guess. I don't know. And then saw a bunch of kids.
And then decided that, hey, those look like good drug customers.
Yeah,
that was the part that I want more information on.
So,
who walks up? Like, what was going on in this guy's head?
No idea.
I've driven my car into somebody's yard.
Right.
I've walked through woods.
I've got drugs on my person.
It's dark. I'm lost. Oh, look, there's a table full of young teenagers.
Yes, for context.
I mean, these aren't little kids, but young teenagers.
There was one that was a 5-year-old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so the youngest was 5, the oldest was 15, right. And there was maybe 8 or 9 of them, I think.
Like, what was going to happen? Like, customers? I mean, what are you thinking?
Was it?
No idea.
Was he going to sell them drugs and then what?
Hang with them.
Who knows? Hang with them, yeah, I
right?
guess.
Build a bonfire. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, he's like, these
misery loves company. I just want somebody to party with.
And do you know what he was offering?
I don't know what he was offering.
Okay.
I think you're applying too much logic to this person.
I'm trying to get into this guy's head.
I'm assuming that if he crashed into somebody's yard and it looks like swerved around the yard a couple times, almost hit a building, I'm guessing he was on something.
Probably.
So did he offer, or did he offer, hey, I have drugs, or did he say, would you like to buy drugs?
He said, do you want some drugs?
Do you want some drugs?
So he was just giving away for free, so he's not even a good businessman.
So he wasn't thinking like the kids were carrying around like disposable cash. He was just offering them up and maybe just wanted somebody to party with.
He was just looking for some friends. He was having a bad night.
I really need to do some drugs.
Yeah.
I don't want to do them alone.
That makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've been like really drunk before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just like, you know. You know, but I just
to the point of offering children stuff. Because I feel like that's a link.
That's what I was driving at.
Yeah.
Was that never to the point, you know, like that. That's ridiculous.
But the biggest takeaway from this for
you guys want a Zima.
The biggest takeaway from this for my family and for the families of all the kids that were involved was a really scary situation.
Yeah, it would be.
Incredibly scary. These kids, when I was on the phone and the kid busted into the room, was like, there's somebody outside trying to give us drugs. She was hysterical.
Yeah, no, that would be very scary.
Because this is a place where they feel very safe, and they should feel very safe. Mm-hmm. This is a bizarre situation. But what I really want to emphasize is that the Buffalo Police Department was incredible last night. I mean, they really took care of the situation super fast. The response time was really, really great. And several police officers, I think, realized how shook up the kids were, and they hung out with the kids for a little bit afterwards and made TikTok videos with them.
Nice.
And took photos with them. And
good.
I just think that's good. Super special.
That's
really, really good on them.
That's a really good, important, positive experience with police officers for kids, for young kids.
Yep.
To know that, you know, when police officers show up, they're there to protect you. They're there to keep you safe. And it's an important lesson for kids to learn, especially in a world right now where if they spend any time online, mm-hmm. all they're probably hearing and seeing is how all cops are bastards and they're terrible and awful people. And if we just got rid of cops, there would be no crime.
Yeah. And now... What? waking up this morning and scrolling through like Instagram, all these kids have posted on their Instagram pages like all these videos and photos that they took with the cops. And instead of them focusing on how terrified they were, their takeaway from the evening was, look at this really cool cop who danced with us.
Right. Well, cops got here quick. They took away the bad man, and now we're all safe.
Happy and partying. It looks like a party.
Well, and I want to kind of broaden that out a little bit further too, because Drew, you hit a great point, and we watched it. Sam shared one of the TikTok videos of the officer just getting there goofy with those kids, and I remember, you want to talk about how things change. There was it was swirling around the time of the last time we went through the anti-cop movement, when Obama was. I think it was right after. No, it was when Obama was in office. Obviously, I was just thinking of the time when we were in Arizona doing radio, and there was a push for community based policing. It's interesting too when I look back at that time, because I know there was a lot of pushback in the moment on the community based policing, if that was the route that we wanted to go. And I think hindsight being what it is, it's unfortunate that there was pushback on that, given where we are now with the defunding of the police. But what's happened here is this perpetuation, you landed on it, this perpetuation now of a generation of kids who have grown up with this anti-cop mentality that has now spun up into the violence that we've seen on the streets, because there is just an almost ingrained negative viewpoint of any altercation you have with law enforcement, and it just is so removed from the truth. And there's been no sort of alternate opportunity to provide a better example because of the activist groups that have latched onto that to push the anti-cop rhetoric. And now you've got a situation where you look at Minneapolis, and we had the editorial yesterday, the heartbreaking editorial of the teenager living in North Minneapolis, talking about how they have trees that are basically replacing tombstones of individuals that have died in North Minneapolis. And he expects his name is going to end up on one of these trees at some point in time, saying that ever since the death of George Floyd, there's not enough police officers. But at the same time, there's a whole group of individuals living in Minneapolis that have no respect for law enforcement, believe that they're completely justified in what they're doing, mm-hmm. and think that the cops are just out to get them, and they're the bad guys in all of this.
Those protests that are still going on in Portland, I mean, they've essentially morphed into just an anti-police. Like, you have to choose a side. You're either choosing to be with the police, or you're choosing to be with the protest mobs that are ransacking Portland at least once or twice a week. Their slogan that they spray paint on all the things that they destroy is ACAB, which stands for All Cops Are Bastards. Choose your side. Who do you want to be with?
Well, and I didn't even, and I'm glad everything turned out okay on your farm.
Thank you.
And again, hat tip to law enforcement for the response time, and also like we mentioned this, which brought us here, mm-hmm. just the response they had with those kids and getting involved in doing TikTok videos with them, because that's a moment those kids will never forget.
That's what they'll remember now.
Right.
They're not necessarily gonna, like 10 years down the road, they're not necessarily gonna remember all the terror that they felt, but they are gonna remember those cops, and that really made an impact on them.
And I'm sure there are many people that have already landed on this point that I'm going to make. I only personally sort of, my head went here this morning, because I don't think we've talked about this angle of it, but there's a story in the Star Tribune today. Proposal to replace the police department heads gets preliminary okay from the Minneapolis Council. A proposal that asks voters to replace the Minneapolis Police Department in the wake of George Floyd's death will head to the city council for consideration next week. And I don't know why. Sometimes it's that you can't see the forest for the trees. But it just dawned on me that the council is going to ride the Chauvin trial like a professional surfer catching waves to push this defund the police movement right now.
Yeah.
And they're in exactly the same position as the protesters are. Regardless of the outcome, the council is going to have whatever rationale they want. And I hadn't even put the two together, because suddenly they'd been kind of quiet talking about defund police. And over the course of the past few weeks, it's been getting louder and louder and louder. And I guess a part of me was going, well, obviously it's getting louder because the trial's coming up. But then it kind of hit me. No, it's getting louder because the trial is coming up, because they're going to use it to their advantage. These people are evil. It finally the light bulb went off. Like, I knew, but I didn't. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And whatever outcome And we mentioned it when it came to the protesting. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever outcome they're going to use to
they can.
Further. Yeah, of course. Is if they're found not guilty, or if they're not sentenced, then they'll just say, well, the whole system is unjust. The whole system is corrupt.
The council voted 5-1 yesterday to advance the proposal following a discussion about whether it would fulfill promises to increase accountability for the police and gather community input as they build a new public safety system. And they're going to start this as they start choosing, as they start their jury selection next week on Monday. They're scum. They're just scum.
Yeah.
They're just scum. They're going to use it to their advantage to push this nonsense at the detriment of every single resident who chose to live in Minneapolis, every single business that is still alive. And a friend of mine sent some photos because Sam was asking about the $600,000 for the barricades. What does it look like?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, man! It looks like a war zone.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It looks like what you see like in Iraq. Like, you know, back when they had to fortify everything because of insurgents coming in, double layered fencing around everything.
It's sad. It's sad. It's sad what's happened to this great city.
And they're going to push in the middle of all this. They're going to take advantage of the trial. Lives are at stake. I mean, look, again, George Floyd shouldn't have lost his life. He, you know, that shouldn't have happened. Be that as it may, lives are at stake in all of this.
Yeah.
And now more lives are being put at stake because of the actions of the council who are going to use this to their advantage.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. You want to comment on this or any other stories we've covered this morning?
Biden's energy secretary says she drives on sunshine. We'll get to that. And we'll tell you why you should kind of be worried about this asteroid that's as big as the Golden Gate Bridge that's heading to Earth.
And we'll tell you how big the Golden Gate Bridge is. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, 651-989-5855. That's the phone number. We got some open phone lines here for the final couple of segments.
An asteroid as big as the Golden Gate Bridge is expected to pass Earth ahead of the first day of spring. It's got a number classification by NASA, which I'm not going to bother reading. They just give them fancy names. They need to do it like they do weather and storms. You know, I should name all of them. We're getting so many of them, it seems like, these days.
That's a good point. The length of the Golden Gate Bridge, and I'm assuming that's what they're using, in terms when they say it's as big,
okay,
right? The length 8,980 feet.
I still don't know how big is that. I don't know.
All right, so this says the article says the asteroid is 0.5 to 1 mile in diameter.
Okay, so that's less than 8,980. So they're clearly not referring to the length,
which is larger than 97% of asteroids. So it's going to zoom past Earth on March 21st.
All right.
Now, that's significant in my book because it's still a little ways out.
That's also the day that Trump's going to be inaugurated.
Was that the next day? Is that the next one?
That's what I heard.
When's the next one? How'd that go yesterday, by the way?
Nothing happened.
Yeah, I know. We still need to talk about that. It is expected to come within 1.25 million miles of Earth. Okay, now there's some...
That sounds far.
It does sound far.
But NASA says that is potentially hazardous.
So the agency currently categorizes asteroids as potentially hazardous when they are at 4.65 miles from Earth. So let's
million,
just...
Million miles.
Million miles from Earth. Yeah, 4.6 miles from Earth would be really scary.
That'd be very close.
We'd all be dead. And there it is, and we're dead. And larger than 500 feet in diameter. So here you've got between half a mile and a mile in diameter and, you know, 1.2 million miles as opposed to 1.6. So it's kind of like the way I sort of work it out in my head is, you know, just nothing touch it. You know, don't, because it's traveling at 77,000 miles per hour or 21 miles per second.
Yeah, one of the fastest space rocks ever known to pass our planet.
So, like, if you just kind of bump it,
you catastrophic.
If you do the walls is right past you. You bump it,
and then
we're all dead.
Oop, sorry.
That's
you dead.
Yeah, this would be an extinction level event right there.
How can we blame this on Trump?
Well, I think...
Did QAnon supporters will this asteroid into existence?
No, because if they knew it was coming, they would have kept Trump in office. Because at least they would have blamed him until it hit.
Ah, okay. He didn't do anything to stop it.
Right.
So it's his fault.
Right.
Right?
You know, I'm trying to come up with sort of the liberal version of why you would have put the thing into office with this thing coming.
Well, here's the thing. The opportunity to stop this from plummeting into Earth and causing an extinction-level event had already passed. Like, that was in October. And if Trump had been doing his job as president...
That's good.
Right? And that's good. And not focused on trying to steal the election, then he could have stopped this and diverted it, and it wouldn't have crashed into our planet. So, yeah. By failing to divert the course of this Golden Gate-sized asteroid, it's yet another failure of the Trump administration.
So the one thing that Drew does prep-wise that I don't do, right? Drew gets all of the liberal emails to his inbox because he signs up for them, and clearly they have paid off.
Mm-hmm. I like to know how they think.
You know, so you are very good at getting into the mind of an irrational leftist.
Well, let me tell you why there's some value in signing up for these emails, because the things that they're saying to the people they're trying to raise money from are very different than the things that they say on TV or things that they say to the news media. It's really important. You know, you want to see what buttons are being pressed that are activating their base. Look at the fundraising emails. That's where they're putting all the salacious lies in there that eventually start to become truth because enough idiots believe them.
Well, you let me know when you get the leftist asteroid truthers ahead of March 21st. I've got a, you know, I wonder if they would allow us to. I have a new place where I want to do the show. I want to keep doing the show here, but I'm thinking there's a new place where we could simulcast. Okay, because this just sounds rad. This comes from the entrepreneur. If anybody has the ability to surprise the world with his ambitious projects, it's Elon Musk. The billionaire announced that he is building a new city. He's building a city in Texas, mm-hmm. and it's going to be called Starbase, mm-hmm. around the rocket launch site of his company, SpaceX.
Right. This is funny that this story popped up because when I was watching the SpaceX launch the other day, you know, up in the banner, it said the name Boca Chica, Texas. Right. And I got curious and I said, where's Boca Chica, Texas? So I pulled it up and I, you know, did the Google Maps search. And when you search Boca Chica, at least on the Google app, the Google Map app that I was using, it actually hones in on what's called SpaceX launch site or SpaceX launch area. And it is. It's already kind of this whole area, like right on the Texas-Mexico border on the Gulf Coast. So it's a few hours south of Corpus Christi.
Okay. All right. Now, yeah. I've got a better visual sort of idea.
That's where all this is happening.
He alluded to his project to colonize, obviously, the Red Planet, hinting that Starbase would just be the beginning to go further from there to Mars and hence the stars, detailed the CEO of Tesla. I need to watch more with this guy. He is a weird dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's really odd.
I haven't watched a ton. I watched a really, really fascinating video where it was him and Jay Leno. And he was driving around his Tesla truck, and he was giving Jay Leno a ride. And because they haven't made it yet, it was his test version of this
super ugly one.
I think it looks awesome. It looks like something out of Damnation Alley. I think it looks so rad.
I think it looks ugly. That's the one that busted the window, and he was like, right when he threw the rock at it.
He was like,
it's indestructible. Yeah, smash.
It has the body contours of like the stealth jet.
Oh, I don't like
the hard angles and all that. But he's just, this dude's just fascinating.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's a visionary. And whether or not, you know, all of his grand ideas and plans will come to fruition, you know, that's the entrepreneurial, that's the American spirit right there. What he's doing and what he's been doing. He's got an idea and he's throwing everything he's got into making these ideas become a reality. And I hope he's successful. I don't know that he will be, but I hope he is. I'm rooting for him.
Elon Musk shared some of the characteristics of his new city and what it would have, such as that it would be friendly to dogs.
Oh, that's, well, you know, look, if I were going to start a city,
seriously,
that's the first thing I would say.
Nope.
As well.
No cats, but friendly to dogs.
Are there cities that are unfriendly to dogs? No. I don't think they're.
I don't believe so. He also hinted that it would be directed by the Doge, which can be interpreted two ways. On the one hand, is it references to Doges, the former rulers of Venice and Genoa, or he could be talking about Dogecoin.
I think he's talking about Dogecoin.
I believe so too. The cryptocurrency, right? Didn't you do, what did you do with Doge? Did you do Doge?
Nope.
Something with Dogecoin?
Not Dogecoin, but okay. A different cryptocurrency.
Suddenly she turns into, to trader mode. Sam in trader mode.
Would this make you want to, if you think the city is going to become a reality, would you invest in the Doge?
Sure. I've invested in it before. I'm just not invested in it currently.
Gotcha.
The 49-year-old billionaire is determined to make Texas his base of operations. In addition to his launch center in Boca Chica, SpaceX has a rocket test facility in the town of McGregor, and they plan to build a manufacturing plant in Austin. In July 2020, it was announced that Tesla's next gigafactory would be built outside of Austin.
What's a gigafactory? I never heard that term before.
Yeah, no, I think it's supposed. I know I'm probably wrong on this. I remember talking about it before. I think it's like a really big factory. I think that's what. I think that's what.
It's 1 gig of factory.
No, I really do think that's what it is. That's what I thought.
Gigafactory.
It's a million small factories.
All right, I need to, Sam. Google gigafactory, please.
I'm on it.
Straight on that.
It's
what I want to know is this is what I want to know. I want to know is what did Elon Musk do to have the government grant him the authority? Think about this for a moment, right? Because we haven't talked about this. But he has launched his Starship once a month for several months now.
Mm-hmm.
They've all blown up. Mm-hmm. What has he given to the government in Texas and the federal government
that make them okay with him just blowing things up?
That have given him permission to just blow up starships?
I don't know. That's a good question.
He's got to have given them something.
Money?
Oh, yeah, of course. But yeah. I just want to know to what amount. Because he has. He's launched. I don't know how he's on. I think we're hitting on 9. They've all blown up. And they're not small explosions either.
And they're not cheap.
Well, and also, there's got to be some kind of climate impact or something. I mean, why do you not have climate activists coming out and being like,
I want to. He's either got photos or videos.
He's got some.
Or he's just paying a lot of Doge, man.
So the name Gigafactory does come from the word giga, which is the unit of measurement representing billions. The Gigafactory is something, it's a name of the Tesla Gigafactory where they build things.
And okay, so that's just what
it's just what he calls it.
He just
it,
can't
yeah.
call it a factory. It's Elon Musk. He has to call it a Gigafactory.
Yes.
Can we be a giga talk show?
Giga show.
Giga show.
Yeah, yeah, we're a giga morning show. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a giga host. Really
I'm
big
a giga
host.
Sam.
651-989-5855.
Coming up, we will talk about Biden's energy secretary saying she drives on sunshine. Also, ABC News. And curious to maybe sneak some phone calls in on this, too. Motor vehicle deaths were up in 2020. This was despite fewer people on the roads amid the pandemic. I don't know about you guys or the person listening, 651-989-5855. I have seen an abundance of scary fast drivers on the roadways, way more than I ever have in the past. And I'd love to take some phone calls coming up on Justice and Drew. News Talk, Justice and Drew, 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Coming up, Biden's energy secretary. We're going to find out why she says she drives on sunshine, and then we're going to lay out some details about how motor vehicles actually went up despite fewer people being on the roads amid the pandemic.
But first, let's talk to Brad in Prior Lake. Good morning, Brad. You're on with Justice and Drew.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. I'd just like to make a general comment on all the topics that you guys have discussed today with regard to health care for federal employees, to this ridiculous H.R. 1 bill, all the voting rights that the Democrats are trying to change. Here's my comment. There's a terrific contrast between Democrats and Republicans. The Democrats actually fight for their ideas, even when probably they're unconstitutional in the case of some of these voting changes that they're trying to implement. Mm-hmm. What did the Republicans do at the election. To my knowledge, they had power in every single state legislature, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. I think I may be wrong. Maybe there was one of them where they didn't have the power of the majority in the state legislature. What did they do?
Yeah.
Nothing. They're great at complaining when the Democrats try to do something. And I'm telling you what, I just get sick of Republicans. And I'm going to include your guest, Tom Emmer, on this, to come in and complain about all these changes that Democrats are trying to implement. I want to ask him and all the other Republicans, what did you guys do when it counted? And when you had the facts on your side, you had affidavits across the country, you had trucks loaded with votes that disappeared, and they didn't. Giuliani had to beg to get in front of these state legislatures to present the evidence that he was supposed to collect all in 30 days to try to get them to do something. They didn't do anything, guys.
Go ahead, John.
You start, Drew.
I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise. I'm not going to try to change your mind on any of that. All I'll say is that I don't understand why people get so mad at Republicans for not doing something and less mad at the people that actually did the bad thing. It's like if I'm standing next to somebody and that person murders a guy, and then everybody points at me and goes, why didn't you stop him from murdering that guy? Like, I'm not the murderer. But get mad at the people that did the bad things.
Well, and I want to add something to this. That's not entirely true, Brad. I understand what your sentiment is, but I watched a majority of those hearings. There were hearings all across the country.
There were lawsuits all.
There were lawsuits all across the country. I watched.
They tried.
I watched hours of the testimony. They're still fighting stuff in Arizona. The outcome wasn't what a lot of people wanted, but to make a broad generalization that the GOP did nothing is just simply not. It's not true. It's simply not true.
You could say they didn't do enough. You could have said they
sure.
Say they should have done different things, but they didn't do nothing. I think the biggest fault of the GOP, if you specifically want to look at state legislatures around the country, is maybe they assumed that no, they didn't, because they fought these changes before they were even implemented. They tried to prevent the changes that the Secretary of States and governors were instituting somewhat unilaterally. They were fights, and there were lawsuits against that. There were fights and lawsuits against it here in Minnesota. One of them was successful, if I remember correctly, and it actually did prevent one specific change. I'm blanking on the exact one. I mean, there were efforts and there were lawsuits, and just because they lost doesn't mean they didn't try.
Well, and when you follow those key states, those key swing states where all these battles were taking place, there are so many individual stories and issues to take away that affected people's votes. There were a lot of really good Republicans that were fighting for you and me to bring about clarity in this election. And the truth of the matter is, there just wasn't a lot of evidence that you could grab onto to point towards anything that would have demonstrated a complete shift in the outcome of the election. And there's a lot of arguments to be made that there was a lot of the ballot harvesting jobs and the money that was pumped into these districts legally that shifted the balance of the election, that was all on the up and up, that we need to do a better job of making sure that we can counter. That's why they want to look. If they thought they could cheat every single election, they wouldn't be pushing through this garbage, garbage HR1 voter reform through Congress right now. And Emmer's done a fantastic job. Everybody can always do better. But I'm not going to cast dispersion upon the party because it didn't have the outcome that we all eventually wanted. And also, got to add, we've been told that Rudy Giuliani and the team that he had made a lot of mistakes.
Did a pretty terrible job.
Terrible job in filing a lot of these briefs in these courts. And at the end of the day, I'll add one more thing and I'll get off my rant. But at the end of the day, this is why January 6th, right, obviously never should have happened. Got to put that caveat out there. But January 6th, any attempt that the right had to try to bring clarity to any of this. I don't even think that they would have an excuse to try to push through H.R. 1 if it hadn't been for what happened on January 6th. And that's why I'm upset at everybody. I'm upset at the individuals that masqueraded as Republicans. I'm upset at the Trump supporting Republicans and everybody who decided to get all rally up in front there of the Capitol, because it stripped away any argument any politician had to push back on this election. It was done. It was over in a matter of minutes that day. It was gone.
651-989-5855. Chris in Arden Hills. Good morning.
Morning. Hey, back to your example there of, somebody comes up, murders somebody, and then gets mad at you, right?
Yeah, right.
Perfect example. Here's the difference that I see. Not you personally, but
sure.
The person that we're upset at is, it's supposed to be the cop. It's supposed to be the police stopping the murder. That's the key difference that I think a lot of us are extremely frustrated about. I do agree. Mm-hmm. That a lot of Republicans put forth a lot of effort, mm-hmm. but I don't see the media blitz. I don't see, I don't see the money that we poured into the Republican Party. I don't see billboard ads. I don't see it. I didn't see it come to fruition the way that I think a lot of other folks wanted it to be.
Yeah, and that's totally fair, Chris. Like I said, I'm not going to try to change anybody's mind on how they feel about the GOP. I think in a lot of instances, and speaking broadly, of course, you've got state parties and national parties and this and that. But speaking broadly, there's plenty of evidence and plenty of instances where you can point at things the GOP did or didn't do and say that was incompetent or that was a wrong decision or things like that. But say, where I get confused and where I get a little frustrated is when people are more angry at the GOP for things that the Democrats did, as if the GOP was supposed to be this magical, like here in the state, every day we hear from people and we get emails, we get tweets that are mad at the GOP because Walz still has his emergency powers. It's like, tell me exactly what you want the GOP to do.
Right.
They don't have the numbers. They don't have the votes. They don't have enough people in office or in any position of power to push back on all these things that you want the GOP to just step up and stop it all. And I don't understand exactly how you expect them to do that. So save some of your ire for the people that are actually doing the bad things instead of the people that you somehow imagine are going to stop them from doing the bad things.
Yeah, and the last thing that I think either of us want to do is go and relitigate this election again. But remember, we have safeguards in place, whether you like it or not. We have safeguards in place for politicians, whether you like it or not. We have safeguards in place where you can't just easily go and overturn an election, whether you like it or not, right? You have to trust the individuals that are going to fight for you. But if it was so easy, Cuomo would have been out of office. If it was so easy, we would have relinquished the powers from Governor Tim Walz. But the flip side is you have to decide. Because do you really want it to be that easy? Because if it's going to be that easy, the next time a Republican gets up in a position of power and somebody on the left wants to go and remove him, they're going to go and do that if you go and take those safeguards away. We have to do a better job of fighting the fight with the powers that we're given. And what they're trying to do in Congress right now with this voter reform bill is they want to take away that ability to fight it at all. They want to make it even harder for you to fight it.
Yeah, impossible.
Yeah.
Mike in Clearwater. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to demonstrate. First off, the Republicans did fight and they did get the Republicans they wanted in Congress and close that loophole. But there were a lot of Republicans that did not want to support President Trump, so they stabbed him in the back.
Yeah, is that true?
Is to follow the money. I don't believe Republicans fight, because let's look at the state example. Okay, I get it. We can't relinquish the state powers. We don't have enough Republicans to recall Tyrant Walz's powers. But here's what they could do. They could fire Jan Malcolm. They could fire commissioners. Also,
not if they don't have the votes. Mike,
let me finish.
Not if they don't have the votes.
Well, okay, but here's the other thing they could be doing.
But hold on, Mike. I'm sorry. No, not okay. Drew's right, and I want to land on that. Drew's right. You can't just, for one, you don't just want to start. I don't care who it is. You don't just want to start firing. You're fired until I get my way. I don't want the left doing that. I don't think the right should do it either. And Drew's 100% correct. They don't have the votes.
that's our problem, though, John. For example, the last article I read is in July, but the problem is that Walz has continued to do the same thing Andrew Cuomo has by putting COVID patients in state-run nursing homes, and we're not holding his feet to the fire. Why not?
Who's we?
I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Who's we? Okay, all right.
And hold his feet to the fire. There's a big difference between what Cuomo did and what's been exposed of Cuomo, what Cuomo did and what Governor Tim Walz has done so far. There's a big difference there. We don't know that there was any cooking of the books for Governor Tim Walz. And don't make me defend the governor for crying out loud.
I'm not going to defend the governor. Connie in Monticello. Good morning, Connie.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say that, yeah, okay, the Republicans maybe aren't doing what we think they should be doing, but they're trying to do it by the letter of the law. I really believe, and I don't like it because I'm not seeing it, but they're trying to do it right so when it's done, it sticks. And these people can't come back and go, oh, no, you fired me, and there's this little stupid loophole somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do it right, like Trump was trying to do it right the whole time, and it takes a long time to do it right. The narrow road. It's not the wide road that the Democrats take.
No, I still want to be able to look in the mirror at night, man, and go, yeah, you're cool. You need to stop eating the sweets, and but I think you're cool.
One of the biggest problems is, and Connie touched on it there, and it's a good point, is that, you know, when these election laws were being changed leading up to the presidential election, I think a lot of people assumed that, and I say a lot of people, I don't include myself in that, but I do believe a lot of people assumed that these changes were being done in good faith, and they clearly weren't.
Right.
And they absolutely weren't. And HR1 is not being done in good faith.
Well, that went back to the conversation that we had earlier this morning, where we were all together at one point with COVID thinking that we were fighting a common good, but unfortunately one part decided to get very political and they weren't acting in good faith.
Sam, what'd you learn today?
Around 6:40 this morning, we had Representative Tom Emmer on the show. I learned his thoughts on HR1. About after 7 a.m. this morning, I learned that Minneapolis has spent more than $600,000 on barricades ahead of the Derek Chauvin trial. Downtown Minneapolis looks like a war zone right now.
Cops with that.
Yeah, no kidding. After 8 a.m., all of you that were listening learned about some crazy druggie that showed up at our farm last night, offered a bunch of kids drugs. So if you missed that story, you're going to want to check out all hours of the show by finding our podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just search for Justice and Drew.
Is this weekend? Are we getting 60s? Is that?
Yeah.
It's a little bit. Well, it's like 40s, 50s.
It's 59. Wow.
Yeah, we could crack 60 on Sunday. That's crazy, man.
It's insane.
So early.
It's still March.
I know. You guys know this is just a tease, right?
This is it, man. It's winter's all over.
Winter will be all done.
That always happens. It always happens. Yeah, you don't fall for it. You get this
don't
little taste of super warm weather, and then all of a sudden it's back into sub-zero temps.
Don't fall for fake spring, y'all. Right. Don't fall for it. But enjoy the weather this weekend. Get out there and enjoy it. It's going to be beautiful. Nothing. Open up the door.